Word of mouth.
From New Hampshire Public Radio, this is Word of Mouth. I'm Virginia Prescott. The Jamaican team came in last in the two-men bobsled events in Sochi, but true to the spirit of the 1994 film Cool Runnings, Jamaican fans sent the team off with a song written to sync with the twists and turns of the 1,500-meter track.
To the left, it's bobsled time. On this freezing night, watch Jamaica slide by.
To the right.
The gold for the two-man bobsled went to Russia. The U.S. took the bronze, the first two-man bobsledding medal for the U.S. in 62 years, which may have something to do with a new high-tech bobsled designed by BMW. Yes, that BMW, the precision luxury German automaker. Michael Scully is creative director at BMW Designworks USA and was an integral part of building a better bobsled. He's also a New Hampshire native who got his winter sport legs on this state's icy mountains. We got to talk with him just before he left for Sochi to see how his rig rides, and I asked him what he was doing before he started working on bobsleds.
I guess over the years, maybe two notable projects that have sort of found the light of day are in 2002, I worked on a Formula BMW race car, which was a carbon fiber monocoque chassis development series car. And then in 2004, I worked on a BMW H2R, which was a hydrogen-powered world speed record car. And we set 9 world speed records with that car.
Well, we've all driven cars. I'm wondering what kind of research goes into designing a bobsled. Did you have to pilot one yourself?
Well, my research was, I would say, firsthand. I actually flew out to the team trials in Lake Placid back in 2011. And, you know, I literally set foot on the ground out by opening the door of my rental car, shook maybe one or two hands, and was put straight into the bobsled at the top of the run. And luckily I didn't have the requirement to drive it. I was a passenger, and Steve Holcomb was driving, and Kurt Tomaszewicz was right behind me. They were both gold medal winning athletes, and so I knew I was in good hands, but I have to say that I thought I was somewhat prepared for that because I had this experience with alpine sports in the past, and you know, I raced cars extensively, so I maybe a little bit of hubris on my side going in, and that was quickly destroyed. It is the most profoundly violent, chaotic, brutal experience I've had, and it actually did inform the design process, and there were a lot of takeaways for me.
Like what? What did you think? You know, when you were going along on this ride, you thought, "Oh, I can make this go even faster."
Well, that sort of level of chaos. Again, I think it's something. If you can help quell that a little bit, you know, just to allow the pilot to focus, or for example, the brakeman, who's the athlete in the back of the sled, for them to brace themselves even a little bit more effectively. I mean, I was clamoring all over the place for anything and everything to hang on to or put my head. And I mean, it was just, it really was a nightmare in a way. And I saw that again as an opportunity to try to build in a little bit more functionality on the inside of the sled. And so we've placed a large emphasis on that.
What did the previous bobsled model look like? Very similar?
I would say by comparison, our sled is noticeably smaller. That's probably the first takeaway that somebody would have looking at it. And, you know, the real motivation behind that was sort of a double-edged reason. One was aerodynamic, trying to reduce the frontal area, which is really the silhouette that would be cast on a wall if you were to put a spotlight directly in front of the sled. That has a large impact on the aerodynamic properties. But also embracing the physics, the reality of the physics of a bobsled run, which is that this sled is almost never going straight, and it's almost constantly transitioning between corners or in a corner or descending a corner or ascending a corner. And all these movements are things which potentially can slow it down.
In your clamoring around, looking for something to hold on to, I'm wondering what the others were doing. What does one do when inside of a bobsled, just holding on for dear life and praying?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the athletes that do it for real, they hold a very precise position of their body because the profile of, say, for example, the athletes at the back of the sled, that has a huge impact on the aerodynamic performance of the sled. So it's not just the shape of the exterior of the sled that impacts the aerodynamics. It's how the athletes also are involved. And so the contour of their back is something that's important to keep in a certain position. And so they will be sort of bracing themselves pretty much as low as they possibly can get. And, you know, that's obviously not a fun position to experience 5 G's of force at, but that is what they do. And I think, you know, my experience on the track really just gave me an appreciation for that level of force. And it is an extreme sport in a very real way.
Well, we're getting a wild ride inside a bobsled with Michael Scully. He's creative director at BMW Design Works USA, and he designed the two-man bobsled for the U.S. Olympic team. Speaking of that force, top speeds reaching 100 miles an hour. I'm reading a lot of different numbers. How fast do they go?
Yeah, I think, you know, for example, on the Sochi track, which is a very technical track, top speed is not a really incredible number. It's somewhere between 75 and 85 miles an hour is probably realistic. That's still extremely fast on a gravity-propelled object. And, you know, every efficiency at that point is necessary. And so that's really what this project has emphasized is, you know, there is no sort of magic bean that just makes the sled go faster. It's kind of this culmination of hundreds and hundreds of little elements that add up into little nuanced changes that potentially eke out, you know, a little bit of time here, a little bit of time there, and it may add up into a hundredth of a second or a tenth of a second or something like that. But it is a sport of hundredths of a second, so that's sort of the minutia that we try to work in.
Well, with that kind of specifics, I'm wondering, there must be a lot of secrecy around the design. I mean, if any little tweak can get an advantage of even a hundredth of a second.
Yeah, I mean, you know, working in the automotive sector, that's that level of confidentiality is something that we're familiar with. And that's important, I think, because, you know, this project in particular has been very much a collaboration with the U.S. bobsled team. And they have lifetimes of experience that they've brought to the table and really informed our process with as well. And so, you know, if those things all of a sudden were to get exposed unnecessarily, then, you know, it sort of sacrifices their incredible life's work. And that's something we take very seriously, too.
And then do you work with the drivers of the bobsleds? You know, what is your relationship with the people who are actually going to be driving these sleds like?
Yeah, absolutely. Steve Holcomb has been incredibly instrumental in the development of the sled. In particular, I would point to the steering system. The steering system is what I like to think of as sort of the central nervous system of the sled, and that really is what connects the pilot to the sled and then also to the track. And so that's the conduit through which all these feedbacks and inputs need to flow. And that's an absolutely critical, very nuanced mechanism that we placed a huge emphasis on. And Steve, you know, actually had a degenerative eye condition for much of his career. And so he developed almost the sixth sense. And he has the ability to feel things that you at first wouldn't even believe. It took me a little while to come to grips with the level of subtlety that he was able to sense. So in that sense, he was just an incredible asset as far as developing the steering system. We've also had athletes here at the studio, and we actually scan them in position in the sled so that any of our aerodynamic simulations would be truly accurate to the position or the shape and contour of the athletes, their backs, their helmets, but also the physiology, where their legs want to be, where their arms want to be, and that allowed us to kind of position the rest of the components of the sled fairly strategically.
Well, BMW Design Works is located in California. You are originally from New Hampshire. I wonder, as a former snowboarder, as somebody who has experienced winter, do you think you brought a different perspective than another designer might have?
For this project in particular, you know, my snowboard racing days certainly was the real kind of formative stage for me. Of understanding the rhythm of a course and how you approach that, or how you sacrifice certain corners so that other corners, which are more important, can be done better. Mm-hmm. And that's very much, there is a lot of crossover with bobsledding that way. And so, you know, it's a life experience that hopefully informed the project, but it's also been an incredible learning experience for me. And I really had just absolutely loved the program.
Hats off from afar to Michael Scully, New Hampshire native and creative director at BMW Design Works USA, which designed and built the two-man bobsled, which rode the U.S. team to a bronze medal at Sochi yesterday. You can take a look at his design in action and watch the wonderfully camp animation of the Jamaican bobsled song written for the Sochi course. All that is at wordofmouthradio.org. With snow hitting the region today, again, it is safe to say that cabin fever season is upon us. Up next on Word of Mouth, the VP of National Geographic Travel transports us to exotic locations around the globe and advises us on finding adventure a little closer to home.